Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this Thursday afternoon. Boy, did we have a lot of football in the last hour. Brad Hopkins, 13 years as left tackle, stalwart for the Tennessee Oilers / Titans. We talked to him. Eddie George, you just heard. One of the best interviews we've ever had with Eddie over all the years we've been talking to Eddie. Also in the last hour, Titans legend. We switch gears to talk hockey. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet, is on the line with us, and every week he's brought to you by Carey's Ire, Remax Elite. Elliot, how you doing?
Boy, that's a tough come down. Eddie George, to me, it's like the starter who pitched 8 shutout innings, and I come on and blow the save. That's a tough one.
No, but you can't. We're not bringing you in. You're not going to blow anything. You're going to win the game. You're going to take us home. That's the beauty.
I love your optimism and faith. I like that.
How are things in your neck of the woods? How are things with the family, and how's everything been going to this point?
You know, pretty well, thank you. All fortunate. You know, as I joke around with people, if the biggest issue you have is boredom, you're doing okay. So done a good job having some classes online for them. We go for walks. We play games. We try to make the best of the situation we live, and I hope everybody listening here can do the same thing.
You know, I've seen some pretty cool stuff. I mean, that's what has been neat out of this. We are, when we get through this, are going to be able to reflect back and probably, hopefully, take some things going through this experience together with us moving forward. And I hope that some of the things you just laid out there, I mean, we built our house. We were in phase one of this neighborhood, and we've watched it grow. We've been here for 12 years, and it wasn't supposed to have this many phases, but as Nashville continued to grow, our neighborhood is huge, and I've never seen this many people in the neighborhood. I've never met this many neighbors, and you know what? That's a cool thing, because if we weren't going through this, it would have been business as usual, and none of this would have happened. And I have to believe that, Elliot, our neighborhood will change because of this experience.
For the better.
Yes, yes. For the better. That's well said.
Yeah, I think people, you know, better to each other if they know each other. So you're right. I do think that is the best bit of good news to have. And also, at some point in time, it'll be nice when we can talk to each other from closer than 6 feet.
Yeah. Yes, no doubt about it. I've always said, you know, speaking of football, Pro Bowl's great. You get the free trip to Hawaii when they have it there, or free trip wherever it is. But All Pro is really how you should gauge somebody, because All Pro is voted on by your peers. And when I see this come out with the NHLPA, to me, that's where you really look at. It's not a popularity contest if it's the fans or the media, you know, who liked this person, who didn't like this person. When it's your peers, you know, that means something. What did you think of the voting? Of course, Sidney Crosby was voted the most complete player. What did you make of the results?
Well, you know what? It's I wasn't surprised. I'm really happy to see that. I think that, you know, pro sports guys, they're ageist. We look down on age now. The prime of a career now being earlier than ever, especially in the NHL, your best statistical years tend to happen 8 years old. So we talk a lot about youth, and, you know, they talk about, like, you know, who's the best player, and they talk about Connor McDavid, and he scored. But I think there's also a realization that a guy like Sidney Crosby, with everything he's accomplished, everybody says they're at the top. He's at the top of the game, and the players respect that. I did a thing about a week ago where I was from Nova Scotia, like Sid is, and McKinnon's having an unbelievable year. And if we ever get around to the voting, he could win the Hart. And I said, do you ever say to Sid, and they're good buddies, do you ever go to him now and say, hey, I'm the best player for Nova Scotia? And he laughed and he said, I'll say I'm better than Sid when I've got four cups and three gold medals, because Sid's got three and two. I think everybody kind of remembers and realizes that maybe he's a little bit older and maybe he's not the scorer he used to be. But when you package and you talk about the brains and you talk about the everyday drive to be the best, there's no question that those players, Crosby is dynamite.
Elijah, I don't know how we've connected with Elliot, but we're having trouble a little bit. There's some breaking up. Can we reconnect? Can we recall a different number? I don't know how we're doing this. So maybe if we could put Elliot on hold, guys, and see if we can't get a better connection. I want to hear what he has to say. It keeps going in and out on us. Maybe we should step away. Should we step away real quick and come back?
Elijah, we can. Do that? We want to do that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's do that real quick. Let's go on and take a quick break. We'll come back and try to get a better connection with Elliot on the other side. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. We talk to him every Thursday starting at 1 o'clock. We'll be back.
Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Always enjoy catching up with him. And Elliot, you've continued on with your 31 thoughts, and I think you've done an outstanding job finding interesting things to come up with here. And one of the things that's a theme this week for you in your column is, you know, finding the good stories that are going on during these times that are sort of uplifting. What's one of your favorites? Give us your favorite one to share with our audience.
Well, first of all, thanks. And you know, one thing I really believe is that, hey, these are serious times, and if I can do anything I can to help people get their minds off it and think about something else, I'm going to try to do the best I can. But I think one of the stories that really stood out to me is there's a pair of twin brothers. They're from Whistler, which is, you know, where shared the Olympics with Vancouver in 2010 in British Columbia, and they were born 1 minute apart. They played hockey together their whole lives until a couple of years ago when they were just about to turn 17. One played junior hockey that started in Edmonton, and the other started in Washington State. And, you know, it was tough for them to kind of be apart from each other the first time. And they fought their way through it. One brother was drafted in the Western Hockey League, one wasn't, so he had to go through something a little different. The one brother suffered a pretty serious knee injury on the way coming back. His billet father, where he lived, he died suddenly in a motorcycle accident. He helped that family, the mother and the daughter, get through it. Then their mother was diagnosed with an illness. She had breast cancer, but she's doing okay. The Edmonton team traded him back to the Vancouver area, Victoria actually, so that he would be closer to home. The mother dropped the puck at a game where he won the opening ceremonial face-off, and the kids are finished their junior career. They both were on pretty good teams, they were both on pretty good teams this year. They both would have been in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, after Edmonton traded the one brother, they traded for the other one, the goalie, to help their young guy out. And that Edmonton organization, it was them that reached out and said, if you don't mind, would you write about these two guys? They're great kids. So their mother's doing well now. The boys are looking towards the next phase of their life. They might go to university together. They might play minor hockey somewhere. But they're just great kids who treated a lot of people really well. One of them was the Humanitarian of the Year in the Western Hockey League 2 years ago. And somebody just felt that they deserve to be written about because they're great kids. And it was a real pleasure to tell their story.
Wow, that is quite a story. That is for sure. Elliot, right now, as you know, we're doing this bracket competition. The best 30 athletes, or we're trying to crown the best athlete of the Nashville area over the past 30 years. One guy that is on the board today that people are voting on is Kimmo Tiiminen. And I would love some outside perspective on you. Now, for those that can go back here, he was a great product of the expansion process, right? The rules were different back then as opposed to what Vegas and Seattle are going to get the benefit of. I mean, you were looking for the bottom of the barrel, and here's a guy that turned into an all-star and a captain of the team for the Predators, and you could see his progress and the team's progress grow from the lovable expansion guys to a team that turned into a pretty good powerhouse. But give us your perspective on Kimmo.
Well, I'll give you another reason. Like, you named a lot of reasons why people should vote for him on the ice. I'll give you another reason why the people of Nashville should vote for him just personally. And that is because if you ever asked Tiiminen about Nashville, he would tell you that city saved his career. Because, you know, he was at a point where he wasn't thought of as a legit NHLer. It was David Poile, your longtime GM, who believed in him. And he has said several times that if it wasn't for the NHL going to Nashville, he probably never gets the chance. You know, I'll tell you about when Tiiminen played at the 2014 Olympics in Sochi. I was on the same flight as him coming home from Russia after those Olympics were over. As a matter of fact, I was sitting next to one of my broadcast partners, Glenn Healy, and in the next aisle over was Tiiminen. And we kind of talked for a good chunk of the plane, of the flight home. And that was a long one. And, you know, he basically said, he did say how, you know, Nashville saved his career. It brought him, it gave him an opportunity that he wasn't otherwise getting. And he talked a lot about how much he loved playing there. And, you know, obviously he moved on. He went to Philadelphia and he went to Chicago and he won a Stanley Cup there. But Nashville was always number one for him. And the funny thing, too, is that, you know, we were saying to him that every player who probably knew that they had to sit next to a media member would have rolled his eyes and just said, oh, my God, I'm faking sleep. And he was laughing and saying, no, I enjoy chatting with you guys. And you guys know Tiiminen. He's such a great guy. You know, I just think that one of the reasons he should get votes is if you ask him about Nashville, he'll talk your ear off about how great it is. He's really appreciative for everything the Predators and the city did for him.
Classy, classy guy. Well said. Elliot, one more for me, and then I'll pass it over to Chase for a couple of questions here. But we were talking earlier in the week, just keeping our eye on China and their professional basketball league with the idea of trying to quarantine their players, play in some remote sites, and try to continue the season in some form. They've had to push back the date. I know that idea has been kicked around in hockey circles some, and I know the NBA has done it as well. Is this, I mean, as people kind of watch over there how this develops, tell me where you think they are on that. Is this at all realistic to try to think about here?
Well, the one thing I really believe is that if one league is talking about it, they're all talking about it. Because all of these leagues share information. They probably have more information than we have, but they share what they get and they share it with each other. And, you know, I asked, like, there's an NBA reporter, a pretty good guy named Brian Windhorst. And he went on, ESPN last weekend and talked about this. And I sent the link to someone at the NHL and I said, what are the possibilities? And he told me that, they discussed it. Like, so it is something that's been discussed. You know, I think there's a couple of things to realize here. Number one, you know, where are people going to be able to go that's going to be safe? I mean, we don't know that yet. Number two, what kind of quarantine are you going to have to go, A, before you get there, and B, once you get there? So, for example, if all the teams are going to go to one spot, Do you have to get there early and quarantine before you can even do anything? I would assume the answer will be yes. I think also, do you want to talk all in one spot or you want to do three and four spots? So I do think, guys, that this is on the radar. I think the leagues are realizing more likely than not, if we resume in the summer, it's going to be without fans. So they're going to look at areas where, A, it looks as if the curve has been flattened. B, will the governments or the respective regulatory bodies let them in there to go? And C, will you have to put, four, five, six more teams in there? And I think all of that is going to be discussed. And I assume right now, because I've been told to do it, if one league is discussing something like that, they're all discussing something like that.
Well, and Elliot Friedman with us from Sportsnet, couple questions that come to mind if they go that route. We were talking about this the other day. What does that mean for people like us that cover the teams on a daily basis? Willie is the play-by-play on the TV side for the Predators. You, obviously, with your work, what do they select some media members that are just going to be there and be quarantined with them? Or what do you think the best way to handle that would be?
That's a good question. We were talking about this the other day, too. So, we're all guessing here. We're all spitballing. But, I think that one of our things would definitely happen is they would need technical crews to go and set up everything so they could be broadcast. And so you'd need a crew. You need your cameramen in there. You'd need, things like that, people to set up the building. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think you're going to need a ton of people because you're probably not going to, it's not going to be the, unfortunately, unless they decide to do it this way, the super duper elite stuff that everybody's used to. We might not just be allowed to have that many people on site. I know for myself, we don't go on site, our main panel, until the Stanley Cup final. We do everything else from the studio, but are they going to want to have, 50 people in the studio? So it's probably going to be scaled down unless we're allowed to have that many people gathering. I could see a situation where maybe there's a couple of broadcasters allowed there and they do it for everybody. Or maybe what happens for you guys who broadcast the Predators, maybe you broadcast it off remote. Or they say you can go, but you can only go in the building when your team is playing. Or one thing that we do, for example, when Calgary plays Edmonton sometimes, we use a couple people from the Calgary broadcast and a couple people from the Edmonton broadcast. So let's say Nashville's, playing Carolina. Well, Willie, we all know John Forslund sucks, so you're going to get to call the game. And Chase, we all know that you're better than anybody Carolina's got to offer, so you're going to be working the game. And then we'll pick someone from Carolina that can be part of the broadcast too.
Hey, I like that plan. Sorry, Darren, you'll have to sit this one out.
Oh, Darren, sorry, I apologize. I forget that for a second.
I'll just stay safe at home.
No, you're good.
But I think it'll be something like that. I think that maybe it'll be a couple guys, maybe there'll be one generic crew in there, or maybe they say everybody's got to broadcast remotely. I think we don't know exactly yet.
I think we have all had to evolve our way of thinking as we go through this process because, our conversations with you and others, has changed a lot as we learn more or we see this thing continue to spread and continue to grow. So with all of that said, how much do you think that the NHL and, we'll throw other leagues are now going, we don't need to necessarily worry as much about this season. If we can do something with it, we will. But how is this going to affect us next season if there's a second phase of this that comes when it gets colder again?
Well, I think we're all kind of wondering that, right? The toughest thing right now is it's out of our hands. Look, all of us here, we're talking about, we're staying home, we're doing what we need to do. There's still people out there that aren't paying enough attention. I read the quote today from the governor of Georgia saying that we didn't understand that asymptomatic people could transmit it, and I'm like, this is screwing it up for everybody else. And I think that's part of the problem, is that we don't have, you know, we don't have control over what other people are doing. I think right now what's happening in the NHL, guys, is they're working on a plan for both this year and next year. Like, how do they go about getting a Stanley Cup awarded and get a full season in next year? And until they're told they can't, like, I'm sure they're working on 50 different scenarios, but until they're told they can't do that, that's going to be the plan. Now, I'm sure they got plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, all the way plan to plan WWWW. But they're working on it, and I think right now they want to find a way, award the Stanley Cup this summer, have next season. If that means you have to take out the All-Star game and those big five-day breaks and compress the schedule a bit, I think that's their number one choice.
Do you think fans are going to show up in masks whenever fans are allowed back in to arenas?
Boy, that is a great question. That is, I think some will. Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know there's
just,
no doubt.
It's just
some
been recommended
will, but
for the first time in the last couple of days,
right,
that some are saying that it might be the best way to go at a certain point.
But I'm wondering, are thousands going to show up in masks?
Well, I think this is the thing. Like, let's just talk as people here. How comfortable would you all now be with going to a stadium if you knew 20,000 people? Like, if there was a Predator game tonight and at home, and they said, okay, restrictions lifted, how comfortable would you guys be with going to a stadium with 20,000 people in?
It would be tough right now today, yeah. Well, it's going to be tough no matter what, because no matter how long this goes, we'll never forget this, right, this experience.
We won't for a while. I think it's human nature to keep it for a while and then for – but the other thing, too, is – and I just thought of this right now, so you guys can tell me if I'm nuts. Maybe the answer is you give out Predators-themed masks when you walk in. Everybody gets one. You make it part of the experience. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I used to be one of those people who didn't like it when people wore masks. I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah.
So if I sit down in my seat and everyone around me is wearing a mask, it's never going to bother me again.
Yeah, what I've learned is it's not really the paranoid person that's trying to not catch it from somebody else. It's really the person that's been conscientious that they don't want to give it to anybody around them. I never thought about it that way, but that's really what you're doing. That's essentially the purpose of the mask.
Absolutely, and you know what? Like, how many times, like, I don't know if you guys are surrounded by anyone who's a germaphobe. Like, I am, hint, right, hint, my wife. I used to roll my eyes when she used to get annoyed at people for coughing or sneezing in public. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
It will change us. You know, I think that's well said. It will definitely affect us for a good while. But to think that there isn't a promotion going to happen where you get a Predator's mask when you walk in the door. I mean, do I think that's crazy? No, I could absolutely see that happening. And it would be perfectly acceptable. Nobody would even, you know, think twice about it. I mean, I think people would be like, sure, yeah, give me one of those.
Absolutely. As long as you know it's, like, reasonably safe and you could make it part of the experience. Like, that to me is going to be the interesting thing. I think it's a great question. Like, I don't think about it too much because I'm like, just get me back to work doing what I normally do and I'll deal with everything else after. But it will be interesting to see, you know, the first time we're allowed to go into buildings all together, how comfortable is everybody going to be with that? I do think that people will be starving for entertainment, that they will go. But I think that's the better question you guys ask is everyone going to be there in masks?
Well, I think to this whole conversation that we're having right now, I mean, I've been so used to it for, you know, this is season 7 for me, holding down the fort of pregame and postgame and intermissions, and that is done for home games in front of a live audience in Jack Daniel's Barrel House, and I've just been so used to that and welcoming to that. I love having people in there and hanging out and watching and listening to the pregame show and a postgame show. But to think that, you know, at least for a good while, you're not going to think a little bit differently about, you know, how we were pre-coronavirus to post-coronavirus. I think we would be naive to think that, you know, we wouldn't have some thought, a different thought than what we have. Right?
Well, I think that's well said. Here's a question. Are you guys going to shake hands again?
I mean, that is a great question. It's a great question.
Like, you guys are probably similar to me in a way. I don't judge anyone, but I do notice if somebody gives a good handshake as opposed to a flat rag,
yep.
Like that was meaningful to me.
Me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, this guy got a good handshake.
Totally.
Yep. Oh, there's no question. And usually I'll make a comment on the firm handshake. You know, like, wow, all right. Strong handshake, good. You know, especially if it's a younger person, like, all right, I like that handshake. Don't lose that handshake.
Yep.
That's good. Elliot, good stuff as always. We really appreciate you joining us. We always look forward to Thursdays. Thanks for doing this. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Guys, we'll continue doing this. I got the note today from Ryan. I'm all good. We'll keep doing this, okay?
I did. That's why I hesitated to say anything because I wasn't sure to say something. So thank you.
We are extremely appreciative, for sure.
Very much so.
No. This is bigger than the business, right? Let's just keep our lives going normal, okay? Well,
thank you very much for saying that.
Thanks, Elliot.
You guys, all the time.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts. Go check out his work. He does fantastic work. Also, Hockey Night in Canada when there is hockey, and we do talk to him every Thursday at 1 o'clock. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.